I'm going to quote six verses this morning, and you won't even need your Bible because they're probably the most famous verses in the history of Scripture. But let me read as you recite with me from memory. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God bless the reading of his word. With these words, Psalm 23, we are introduced to some of the most famous verses in Scripture, but they reflect the shepherd-sheep relationship that God the Father had with King David, the greatest king in the history of God's people. But what we discovered a few weeks ago about King David is one of David's traits was he was very bold, but he was bold because he was so well-loved. I just made that point in a message, but I want to camp on that point this morning. If you knew for a moment how much God loves you, he's crazy about you, he's in love with you. He loves you as though you are the only person in the universe. The entire created universe is a backdrop against which he loves you, and your love story between the two of you is lived out. King David understood the love of God the Father, and in this psalm he reflects the fact of being so well loved that his boldness results from that love. David was bold not because he read faith confessions and finally brainwashed himself into boldness. He was bold because he was so well loved. He was so well loved by God, that he was in a place that he could be defiant against evil. And I want us to go through these stanzas because in Psalm 23, we're literally seeing a shepherd writing to us about shepherding. And what's interesting is sheep are the dumbest, dirtiest, most dependent, stupid. They don't even know how to come in out of the rain, literally. And God likens us unto sheep. Isn't that comforting? Well, at one level, it isn't. It's sort of a backhand, right? But God chooses the relationship of the shepherd-sheep relational situation to teach us about his great love for us. And each of the stanzas we're going to take in turn represent the relationship. Look at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. Notice, the Lord is my shepherd. Your God picture is the most important thing about you. When David thought about God, he didn't think of a tyrant. He didn't think of a prideful dictator. He thought of a nurturing, loving, caring shepherd. We'll get there in a minute, but did you know the imagery of a shepherd is the most loving, caring, and nurturing imagery you can summon from any word picture? Because the shepherd so laid his life down for the sheep, lived only to care for them, only to meet their needs. The shepherd always went before the sheep. And he would root out poisonous things. And he would capture wild animals. And he would find the most purified streams. And you would never go anywhere as a sheep that your shepherd had not preceded you. How many of you know Christ has preceded you in your journey, and you'll never wind up anywhere that he was not first on the scene preparing the way before you? I don't care how dark it looks. I don't care what you may be in single file in the dark going down into the valley. He may have to take you down before he takes you up. But the shepherd will never allow his sheep to go anywhere he has not first gone to prepare the way. And that's the imagery that David has in his mind. David was a loved little boy because he knew how much he loved his sheep. He knew how dependent they were, how stupid they were, how stinky they were, and they're rude. Sheep bite. We hear of a pecking order with chickens. There was a butting order with sheep. They're very nasty little creatures, and yet the shepherd has a heart for them. The shepherd lives only to protect them, feed them, nourish them, and provide for them. And so David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't know what your God picture is, but if it's anything less than a loving shepherd who gives himself utterly for you, you've got the wrong God picture. If you think God is a dictatorial father with a ruler in his hand ready to crack your knuckles every time you have a nasty thought, your God picture is off. And you know what? You can't say the Lord is my shepherd. You say the Lord is my cosmic sadist. The Lord is my I'll love you just enough when you do the right thing. If your idea of God is that he's a performance freak, now he's perfect, but he's not a perfectionist. God's perfect, but he's not a perfectionist. Big difference. So David knew who God was to him. He knew how he related to the Father. Now let's break it down a bit so you can understand some shepherding principles. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David says, just as I go before to the high mesas and plateaus to trap the enemies that would harm my sheep, so God loves me. Just as I lay my own body down over the sheepfold door every night so that they would have to get me and go through me before they get to them, so God loves me. What's your God picture today? If you don't believe God is utterly behind you and in love with you, then I can tell right away, looking at your life and looking at the way you talk and the way you talk about God to others, whether he is your shepherd. And David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Not someday, somewhere in the past, he was somebody else's. He's mine right now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Notice the next stanza. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Did you know sheep don't lie down in green pastures unless conditions are met? First, they can't be hungry. If a sheep is hungry, the sheep will never be able to lie down. Second, if a sheep is thirsty, thirsty sheep are crazy sheep. 70% of their body is water. If a sheep is thirsty, he will never lay down in repose and in a sense of vulnerability. So they got to be fed. They've got to drink their fill of water. And third, they've got to be free of all agitation in the sheepfold. If there's not harmony in the sheepfold, the sheep is not going to lie down. Huh? You got sheep that are wayward sheep or rebel sheep, and they're butting up against you, and they're biting your butt, and everybody's trying to compete with one another. If there's not harmony, they won't lie down. Next, if there's any kind of enemy present, they will not lie down. So, you know, when he says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, there's a lot packed up in that. That means God's gone to great lengths in order to prepare for you. First, he leaves the flock. He goes to the plateaus. He goes before the sheep. He first roots out anything poisonous because sheep eat anything. So he's responsible to move all the poisonous stuff away. Why, that's the famous root Abelimium pocandus, and it looks good, but it'll kill the sheep. He has to root that out. Shepherd has to know everything that'll kill his sheep. He's got to go before them. He's got to take care of it. God has gone before you to take care of all of the needs that would allow you to lay down in green pastures. He's going to feed you. He's going to water you. He's going to remove the disharmony. He's going to put you in a place where the enemies are checkmated for a season so that you can lie down. See, green pastures don't just happen. The shepherd makes them happen. So you see, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He loves me. Just as I provide for all their needs and go before them, he goes before me. And he makes me to lie down in green pastures because he provides for me. He makes the way. And the next clause says, he leadeth me beside still waters. Did you know sheep are deathly afraid of water? They're not good swimmers. Ever seen any good swimming sheep in competition? No, you don't. This is a heavy wool coat. They'll go right to the bottom. They're terrified by the sound of surging water. And so the shepherd can only lead them strategically by still waters. But you know, some of the still waters and streams are the waters deepest down in the valley. Sometimes he's got to lead his people deep down into the valley for the sweetest streams and the more still streams. There's three ways sheep get water from a shepherd's perspective. First, dew. They can live for 5 weeks just on the water that they get daily as they eat their food, right? And then streams. But some of those go deep down into the crevices and ravines, into the valley. And I know that some of you have been down in the valley, and he's provided some streams for you, not on your terms. He didn't take you where you wanted to go when you wanted to go, but you're not thirsty today. I can see you're still alive. But the third way, if he doesn't give it to them through dew and he doesn't give it to them through the stream, it's through wells, You know, you would go into the wilderness places, and the shepherds had gone before, and they would hew out of the cisterns out underground in the limestone, fill them with water, and just imagine, a sheep is thirsty. Now, 70% of their body is water. There's nothing nastier than a thirsty sheep. They'll drink anything. They'll drink water out of a horse hoof. They'll get liver flukes and nematodes and nasty stuff because thirsty sheep drink anything. You've seen Christians get thirsty. They get crazy. Thirsty sheep are crazy sheep. God's got a lot of crazy sheep because they're thirsty, and they'll drink anything. You ever seen a Christian lately? They go, what do they believe that teaching for? What on earth are they going to that conference for? Why can't they see that they're drinking out of a horse hoof? Thirsty sheep are crazy sheep. See? And so God goes before his sheep and he says, look, I'm going to have to give you water, either the dew, the stream, or, listen to this, the wells. So the sheep are wandering around, minding their own business, thirsty, and they're nasty, extra nasty. And all of a sudden, the shepherds have preset this, but the sheep don't know. They're thirsty, they want their needs met, and they don't realize right underneath them is the answer to their need until a shepherd brings them to a hole and drops them down into a dark hole. Now, they don't know, but the other shepherds are underground, and they capture the sheep, and they give them to drink out of the well. But did you know sometimes it looks like God's doing crazy things, but he's just trying to slake your thirst, and he's just trying to give you what you need. But you can be walking above ground, and in a minute taken, and drop down into a dark hole. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's pre-planned. It's preset. He went before you. He dug that out of solid limestone. There is water. Trust me. You know, God always has to say, I might not meet your needs on your terms, but I will slack your thirst and quench your thirst. But it may be dropping you down a hole. Well, I would like two streams a month and then perhaps the dew for the rest of the time. He'll give you the water the way you need the water. Come on. The answer's right under your feet sometimes and you don't know it. Oh, God, help me. It's right. It's 2 feet under your feet. It's right there. You can smell it. But the shepherd might drop you down a hole. And he's the shepherd. Nothing happens outside of his direct care and shepherding will for you. May not be good in the short term, but in the long term, you'll live and you'll be a source of life to others. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Look at that phrase, restores, restores. You know what that's referring to? Cast sheep. The greatest threat to a sheep is when he becomes cast. That means he rolls over on his back. In 3 hours, gases build up in the rumen, and the sheep, if he is cast, he's stuck where he can't move, he can't get up, and at that point, he'd be dead. He's vulnerable to any prey. A chihuahua could kill him. When a sheep is cast, they need to be restored. And if the shepherd does not leave the 99 and he doesn't go out and seek for a cast sheep, now there's reasons to be cast. First, easy places. Sometimes a sheep get in an easy place, a little dip in the, it gets easy, and they're on their back. So you get into a moral place that's easy. For you know it, you're cast, you're on your back. And by the way, once you are vulnerable as a cast sheep, you're dead. Just a matter of time. If the shepherd doesn't find you and he doesn't massage life back into those legs and he doesn't flip you back properly and put you on his shoulders and take you home, you're dead. Any little creature can make an end of you. Cast, well, easy places can get you cast. What about thick wool? What about the entanglements of the things of the world? Some of those sheep have so much wool, they've got children's toys woven in them. You know, everything. Sometimes we got so much of the world, thorns and thistles and nettles and barbed wire fences, and we're carrying all this gunk from living in the world, and we just have too much wool. Too much wool and too much entanglements in the things of this world can cast you and throw you on your back. What about just being too fat? Huh? Sometimes we can just have too much of everything, and we wind rolling up on our back, and we're easy prey to the enemy. He restoreth my soul. David said, look, I know God loves me. He's my shepherd. He's made a way. He's gone before me. He protects me. He will seek me even when I'm out, lost, and cast. He'll leave 99, and he'll come looking for me because I'm hopeless and helpless without him. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leadeth me. Did you know what that means? Sheep have to be moved from pasture to pasture every week because they get lost in circles and they defile the land they're walking in. And when you watch sheep, they'll build a rut around the land, destroy it, poop in it, and absolutely make a rut they can't get out of. You ever been in a rut you can't get out of, no matter what? It's your sheep. See, you walk in circles. They'll defile the land they're in. So the shepherd has to move them every week to different grazing points. And God's moving some of us. And change is a dirty word to most of us. We like sameness. We like circularity. We like predictability. But God knows his sheep left to themselves will defile themselves and everything around them. So he leadeth us. He's leadething you. That's the change. I don't want change. Yeah, well, he's leading you. You see, what happens from summer to winter, he begins to lead the sheep from their former home to the high mesas and the high plateaus. And so he begins to move them periodically. God will bring change into your life periodically because as a good shepherd, he knows what you need and that it requires a change. A change. Next, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What does that mean? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Did you know, in order for God to lead these little sheep, in order for the shepherd to lead these sheep to the high plateaus from summer to winter, because they're going to spend summer to winter on the high mesas, to get to the high place, you usually have to go down in order to go up. Sometimes God will take you down before he takes you up. It's just natural. We've all heard this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Okay, but you don't know what it means. From the shepherd's perspective, it means there are times when it gets dark and the path is so narrow that you have to walk single file. Single file. And you have to be really close to him and hold his hand. Have you ever been in a dark place where he had to lead you down and it got so dark, it was single file, but you know, holding onto his hand, everything was going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Because, see, the shepherd knows where I'm going. He would never lead me down unless he's going to lead me up. I can't get to the high place unless I'm willing to go to the low place. And I know he's been there before me, and I will never be led anywhere he has not yet been. He'll lead you down to take you up. That's the way it is. And I don't know about you, but it's the valley of the shadow of death. It's not death. You say, I'm going to die. No, you're not going to die. It's the shadow. Can a shadow really hurt you? Shadow of a gun? Shadow of a knife? Shadow of an ugly man? Shadows, well, that could stop everything. But, hey, Mama, it's a shadow of an ugly man. Yeah, well, it may do a lot, but a shadow can't hurt you. He'll never lead you anywhere he has not first been. You see, that's the whole imagery. No one's ever been here before. Oh, my God, what's going to happen? What if I die? What if I fall down? You know what? You know what? You're his little sheep. He's utterly devoted to you. He lives only to meet your needs. Look at Jesus on the cross, the great shepherd, giving his life for his sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and they will not follow another. This is love beyond reason. And if you ever knew how loved you were, if it ever saturated your being for 10 seconds, you would be invincible. You would be bold, not in your personality. I'm going to be bold right now. All right, everybody. You know, that's fake. That's fake. Put a little pressure on them. You'll see what's really in them. But a well-loved person is a bold person. They're not rude. They're not cocky or arrogant, but they're confident. And David said, I killed the lion and I took that lamb out of his mouth and I defended the defenseless. And you, you uncircumcised Philistine, will be as one of these. How dare you defy the armies of the living God? That is not a boy making a faith confession. That was coming from who he was as a loved sheep. Amen? Perfect love casts out fear. Not perfect laws, perfect rules, perfect behavior, perfect love. When you feel the love of the shepherd for your sheep's soul, it's going to fill you up. It's going to displace fear. And then you're going to be bold for the right reasons. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod was that which was used by the shepherd to kill enemies. The staff was that which was used that hooked shepherd's crook in order to bring his little ones back on the road in the straight and narrow when they go astray. You know, sheep go astray all the time. And God doesn't say, well, there he goes again after all I've done for him. God is not your mama. Pack the bags, we're going on a guilt trip. I died for you. Look at these holes in my wrists. And you, God, that Jesus does not have emotional problems. Okay, he's a very sane shepherd. He's got a little staff, and once you go, he knows you're going to go astray because he knows your nature and your dependency and your dirtiness, and he knows your dumbness, and he knows you don't even have a sense to come in out of the rain. Sheep will stand in the rain until they're struck by lightning. I'm going to stop right there because I just scanned the room. I'm not going to say nothing more. Have you had anyone in your life you've had to do something equivalent to helping them in out of the rain? It's like, oh, so you didn't know that was wrong? Oh, you didn't know I was going to hurt you? Okay, baby, just come with me. See, God doesn't go, look at you out in the rain, you stinky thing. I can't. He just comes and he seeks you out again. And he picks you up again. And he puts you around his neck and he takes you off. And he says, like Aslan did to Edmund in the Chronicles of Narnia, we've had our little talk. It's nobody else's business. I took care of it. So you don't need to judge your brothers and sisters who've gone astray because God's already dealt with them and you keep your mouth shut. See?
Well, they were cast in an easy place. I know it hurts you.
None of your business. You see, he left you alone with the 99. To go and seek that brother or sister, and it's not your business. Why they were cast, why they strayed. But notice, David says his rod, the symbol of authority and protection, he's protecting me. His staff, he's guiding me. He's giving me direction. My God loves me. He guides me. He provides for me. He gives me direction. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil. You know, he does next say, thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. That's another image of the great plateau. Once you get to the mesa, once you get to the high place, you see, he's already rooted out the poisonous things. He's already given them purified water. He's already made sure the enemies are contained. He's already made sure there's plenty of grazing space. And David portrays the sheep from summer to winter up on that high place going, look at this table prepared for me. Look at this. The enemies at a distance look on. But they're not going to try to broach any business with that shepherd because he's got that rod. The rod is about this big, and they would use it, and they would throw it. So as soon as the shepherd saw an enemy, whoop, he did a Bruce Lee, you know, and that thing whacked the thing, right? He doesn't use the rod on his people. He uses the rod on the devil. He uses the staff on his people. Big difference.
If you don't do it God's way, he's going to kill you.
No, he's not. Sorry, that's a lie. You'd all be lips and tennis shoes by now if that was true. He doesn't kill you every time. The Bible itself says God doesn't strike us with lightning every time we go astray, so we're emboldened to sin. The point is he's long-suffering, generous of spirit, and he wants no one to perish but everyone to be saved. So you know what? That rod is for the enemy, and he can take care of your enemies. Let him deal with your enemies. He'll use his staff to give you direction, and he knows just when to pull your little neck and put you right back on track. But he anointeth my head with oil. What's that about? Well, summertime is fly time. Nasal flies, bot flies, blue bottle flies, nothing more tormenting to a sheep. Those nasal flies lay their eggs in their mucous membrane of their nose, and those things, the larva climb up into their brain, and they get in there, and they maturate up there, and they drive the sheep crazy. You see sheep's smacking their head, trying to stop the torture and terror. And did you know the only way the shepherd can keep those distractions and irritations and flies and larva away from the sheep is to mix a part oil and sulfur and make a mixture that he anoints the head with. Because God knows how to remove all those distractions you've had, all those mental distractions, all those torments, because sheep can't rest when they're tormented. So he anoints your head with choice oil to protect your thoughts. Sometimes you just need your mind to stop. I don't know about you, but I could never get my mind to stop. I could lay down. They'd say, lay down. What you need, Pastor, is a lot of rest. I'd lay down and go, okay. Nasal fly, bot fly, blue bottle fly, every thought in the world coming through my mind, especially when I try to pray and be holy. Every nasty thought I ever could think of would come through my mind. I think I'm going to fast and do a holiness fast. Really? See what comes up in your head when you do that? You wicked thing. See, you won't tell anyone. It's the truth, but you have to look somber. I don't know what he's talking about. I saw visions. Yeah, you did. I did too. But I'm not going to share them with you because you judge me. Religious people hate me. I don't know what it is, but a religious spirit, and I don't get along. He's rude and self-confident and in danger of offending the Holy Spirit. I'm not quenching the Holy Spirit. I'm quenching your spirit, which needs to be quenched sometimes. The Spirit of God is never, he's the Spirit of truth. If you speak the truth, you're in line with his work. But notice, David said, look, the shepherd even needs to anoint my head so that I'm not tortured and tormented. I don't know what's tormenting you. I don't know what thoughts won't let you alone. But beloved, your shepherd can put an admixture together and anoint your mind, and everything can have peace. Everything can go to rest. He anointeth my head with oil. Listen to this. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He portrays these sheep that have been on the high mesas from summer to winter, and they're well fed and they're not thirsty, and the enemy's contained, and the shepherd's there offering his life. They got to eat the shepherd before the things can eat the sheep. And did you know there's no devil power that can ever eat Jesus up? And they got to deal with him and take him out before they get to you. So rest comfortably today. They can't take him out. The shepherd would literally lay across the door, and the enemies would have to come through him and over his body before they would ever get to that little lamb. And David was one who gave his life and offered himself. When one little lamb was taken, he grabbed the lion by the face, and he said, I smote him, and I took that helpless thing out of his mouth. God loves you. He's going to anoint your head with oil. But the sheep come back from the high mesa to their previous home, well-fed, perfect condition, shorn when they need the shearing process, and they are confident and they're fat. Did you know sheep reflect their shepherd? You can go to some churches and you find very unhealthy, strange sheep, and then you go to others and you find very well-balanced, healthy sheep. Sheep reflect their shepherd, and they'll never rise higher than their shepherd. And so David portrays this whole flock coming well-fed, blessed, all their needs met, their cup runs over, and their attitude is, with this kind of a shepherd, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God loves you. You can be bold because you are so well loved. And if you ever doubt it, go to Psalm 23, go through these stanzas, and recall some of these important points. Just as a shepherd loves his sheep, so God is committed to your protection, giving you care, provision, and giving you direction in your life. Father, we thank you that you are our shepherd, and you are my shepherd right now, and I choose to submit to your guidance and your care. And Lord, bless my friends listening, that they would feel the love of God for the first time in their life and feel that you will go before them in all things, and you will even keep them in the valley of the shadow of death. And you will cause our cup to run over, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Give the Lord some praise right now. Give him some praise.